Please make sure if you have time to sign the sign-in sheet. My name is Dennis Fowler. I'm with AMAC Earth Environmental. We have been hired by the state of Missouri, the state of Missouri. And Canyon County is the next one we're going to be ready to do. Before I start in on the formal presentation, I'd like to go around the room and say everybody introduce themselves. So everybody knows kind of who's here and just kind of walk that way. So actually, let's start with Scott.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Scott Zeller. I'm a floodplain management section engineer for the State Emergency Management Agency.
You've been on the job now?
Oh, about a month. So I'm still kind of finding my way through, but making some progress. I've got some cards up here. If you guys, anybody needs to call me at any time, feel free to do so. I'll be doing my best to answer any questions you have. As Dennis mentioned, we're kind of in the preliminary stage. We're going to mark up some maps as he goes on through here, and everybody will have a chance to kind of review what's going on.
Don Klein, City of Hollister.
Richard Melton, City of Forsyth. Nathan Bauer, Forsyth Fire Emergency Management. Chris Garam, Haney County Emergency Management.
Nancy Alexander, Haney County.
Brent Preston, Haney County Road Bridge.
Betty Coffey, Haney County Planning.
Bonnie, the City of Haney County Planning.
Randy, Haney County Road Bridge.
Bob Fawcett, Village of Carpentville, Chairman.
Larry Klein, Mayor of Rockaway Beach.
Susan Kettcamp, City Clerk, Rockaway Beach.
Grant Fowler, City of Hollister.
Tim Bonner, City of Branson.
Danny Strahan, County Commissioner.
Chuck Pennell, County Commissioner.
Jim Strauffis, County Commissioner.
Christy Smith, County Clerk.
Absolutely, thank you. This is very, very informal. As I walk through, what I'm going to do is walk you through where we've been, why we're here, where we're going to go. Any questions, anything that comes up, please don't wait till the end. Any dialogue, I want to have that conversation during the presentation. That way, everybody gets their answers and go through this. So, this slide particularly is a little bit outdated. It says 15 to 20 million times. Now that the firms have gone digital, it's probably twice that now. It's used, I mean, people go online, look at the floodplain maps. They're looked at regularly. So it's a common thing to go look at floodplain maps. We all know, what do we use it for? If you live in a floodplain, there's a mandatory floodplain insurance requirement. If you take out a federally backed mortgage, it helps with your emergency management agency. It also helps with floodplain management. So, let's talk about a little bit where we've been, what FEMA has done. They started about 5 years ago a program called Map Modernization. What they did was they put about $1 billion in a bucket and said, okay, now let's go map the United States. Well, it fell a little short, but what that did is that started the process of being able to put by maps in the state. Now, we're in what's called risk map, and they put about $2 million a year in to update the floodplain maps. So that's kind of where we're at. I'm telling you, things already known, but now you've already got a digital flood insurance rate map. You've already got some of these things electronically. Some counties do not, so that's why some of these things are on the presentation.
Thank you.
My mouth needs too far away. Talk a little bit about why is FEMA involved, what's going on, why is FEMA not here, that type of thing. FEMA has entered into an agreement with FEMA that they will be the cooperating technical partner. What that means is that any floodplain mapping that goes on in the state of Missouri, FEMA is in control of. They monitor it, they decide what's going to happen as we go forward, and they go back and say, FEMA, this is what we're going to do. So they sign an agreement that says, we are the cooperating technical partner. So with that, the community in turn cooperates with FEMA. And what we're really here today is, we're getting ready to remap or update the floodplain maps in Taney County. When I say Taney County, that includes all the communities within Taney County. If there's any information that we don't have on your maps, that's what we want to talk about today. If your political boundaries are not right, road names are not right, are there flood studies or local drainage studies that you have sitting on the shelf that did not get incorporated in the old maps? That's what we want to talk about today. So what we're really talking about today is it's called pre-scoping. We just want to say, hey, do you have anything that's not on the maps that we can make these maps better? That's really what the goal of the meeting is today. This is kind of a snapshot of the state of Missouri. The purples are what was done last year. The greens or what's getting ready to be done. And also talks about the ones that are outlined in red, which we don't have a problem here or concern here, was levies. They have levies in their community. So for the FY09, just to break it down a little bit more, these are the counties that we're doing in FY09. You see what Caney County is involved. But if you look around, Christians was done 2 years ago, Stone was done 2 years ago, Lawrence was done 2 years ago, Webster was done last year. A lot of the counties around you have already been through this process. So this is just let you know what's going on.
Hey.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, absolutely. Yes.
How old are the old maps? We had a little discussion of that earlier.
06.
You know what? I'm sorry.
06.
06.
There we go. I can pull them out and take a look. I don't know that answer without looking.
Say there. I've got them.
Yeah, and we got them here. So I can answer that. But 06 is...
September 06.
Thank you.
That sounds...
That's why the maps weren't exactly accurate with the topo lines.
And that's, and we'll talk
and that's
about
why
that.
It's so
absolutely. Perfect. Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how we're going forward, how we can make the maps better, and the process that we're going to use to do that. This is something that you probably already know because you've already got a digital flood insurance rate maps. But now you'll have an aerial background. You'll be able to see the roads. You'll be able to see the political boundaries on your floodplain maps. The old floodplain maps had, you had a panel for a county and a panel for a city that didn't match, which has gone away with the new floodplain maps. So in one respect, it was good. You guys have mapped early on. You got a digital flood insurance rate map. As a consequence of that, as you just pointed out, sometimes the floodplains didn't match the topo. So that was the fallout of that. So thank you.
Can you tell us how come? Why didn't they match?
What they did back when they brought it forward was they pretty much just did what's called a digital conversion. Let me go down a couple slides ahead here. Well, if you don't mind if I come back and answer that.
Okay.
There we go. I don't know. Anytime a community is going to get a new floodplain map, to me it just makes a lot of sense to hold meetings like this. Hey, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And then at the end of the day, we're going to provide you maps. You're going to comment back to us. So you can come back to SEMA and AMA saying, hey, our political boundaries are not right, or hey, what about this floodplain, or we got some issues here, or that looks good. Well, 44 CFR actually mandates we have to hold this meeting. To me, it makes no sense that they have to put a CFR or a federal statute that we hold this. To me, it just makes common sense. But anyway, so if nothing else, when you go home today, you've accomplished one feat, and that's we held the scope meeting for Caney County. We met a federal registry. So again, while we're here, we need input from everybody and anybody to update the floodplain maps. That's what we want. Anything that's not on the maps that need to be, or that's on the maps that are not correct, that's what we want to fix. Because at the end of the day, as you all know, you're the ones that have to live with the maps. I mean, we're 3 hours away, but at the end of the day, they're not going to come to us. The citizens won't come to us and say, hey, what's going on? They're going to come to you, especially the floodplain administrators. That's where it all hits the road.
Can I ask a question there?
Absolutely.
With FEMA subcontracting the relation to SEMA, mm-hmm. if we have a conflict or a problem going forward,
yep.
do we take it to SEMA yep. and not FEMA now?
Right. Well, on the floodplain maps, you would take to FEMA. I mean, to SEMA. On this particular project, we got a study we want to get incorporated into the map, or we've got a floodplain that's not quite right. That would be something you go to us. But if you do a LOMAR, that's still going to be reflect on the existing floodplain maps.
Okay.
That would still be a FEMA issue.
Okay.
But if you don't know, Scott or I would be more happy to claim that this is how we go forward.
Okay.
Anything along those lines that I'm not sure what to do here, holler at us.
Okay.
We'd be more than happy to walk through that process. Okay, next slide. Again, this is, you've been through this before. You've got digital flood insurance rate maps, we were scoping. Somebody came out way back when and said, hey, we're going to have some floodplain maps. We need to update them. We have the information. So we've been through this before. But this time through, we want to make sure that there have been communities where the maps got updated. At the end of the day, they found some studies that didn't get incorporated. So that's why we really want to do that now. We want to know if there's anything out there that we can get incorporated or get fixed now before we get down the road.
We had an experience, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. Over in Branson area, and some folks actually lived on the bluff,
mm-hmm.
and they were shown to be in the floodplain.
Right.
I mean, it was falling off the wall, easy to see.
Yep.
but they had to hire a surveyor to come prove that. And as you can say, that doesn't taste too good.
Absolutely.
So I'm questioning, as you're getting started, maybe I haven't given you time yet, but I'm questioning, if I remember right, we had a meeting at Hollister that we looked over maps, mm-hmm. and there was this number of people there. But looking over maps, it wasn't found until somebody went to financing. How is this going to be different? That's my question.
Jump ahead of slide. We'll come back to one, another one. We'll go through different states. Another one? Okay. What I want to talk about is how are the old maps done and how are we going to do them differently going forward? I think we'll answer your question. There are 4-5 different main ways of how floodplain maps are created going forward. The first one is what we call a digital conversion. A digital conversion is what was done with these maps originally. What they did was they had the original information on the maps. It was on the vector maps where you had road lines, no aerial background. What they did is they just took that floodplain, brought it forward, laid on top of an aerial, and went on. There's no new engineering done. There's no new surveying done. There's nothing done. They just took the existing maps and moved them forward. So again, back to my comment early on when I said there were some good things and bad things about being early in the process about getting digital flood insurance rate maps. The good thing was you got them digitally. You were good to go forward. The bad thing was digital conversion is, if it was bad before, it's going to be bad now. We're just going to move it forward. We're not making sure it matches anything. That's what was done with original maps. Going forward, that will not be done here. Going forward, we'll either do most of the detailed streams. When I say detailed, that means streams that have AE, designated AE, or elevations. They got those scooping lines with base flood elevations. Those going forward will actually be laid on top of the 2-foot contours that we've got for the county. We'll make sure at the cross section, we'll make sure that on both sides of that floodplain, it matches that contour. So that way, you won't have this thing sitting up on top of the hill, it'll match. So, and part of our checks is every 100 feet, we've got to go along that floodplain to make sure it matches. So we send maps back out, they will match, but you'll have to take a look at them. So that's how we will fix that. We will make sure that it follows the contours. The same thing is, the other thing that will come, that will go, as we go forward, that will happen is every stream that has a drainage area of 1 square mile or greater will have a floodplain. It won't affect, it'll affect some of the communities, it'll really affect the county, because now what you'll have is you'll have a lot more floodplains than what you had before. But what we will do, again, is we'll take the good topographic data, the terrain data that we've got, we'll run an engineering analysis, we'll determine how much water we've got coming down, we'll determine how deep that water is, and then we'll put that in the floodplain. Now, again, approximate zone, you don't have base flood elevations. You don't have little squiggly lines that go across the floodplain. It tells you what the depth of water is. However, what we do is we do it digitally. We provide you what's called a HECWAS model, which is the Corps of Engineers model, that provides you how deep that water is. And we provide you the cross sections. So what we'll do is we'll provide all that to you, the digital data. So if somebody comes in your office, you'll have that information. You can pull it up, you can look at it, you can see how we establish the floodplain. It'll give you what we call a base flood approximation. In other words, it'll tell you what the base flood elevation is at that cross section. It's called an approximate A zone because we don't do any surveying. We assume that there's no road, no bridges, no culverts. You go forward and put a floodplain in. But what you will get, what you don't have now, if you go look at any approximate A zone, there's no data to support that approximate A zone. You have no idea how they came to that, what the contour was, what the elevation is. You know nothing about it. But going forward, that information will be provided to SEMA, which will be provided to you. So that way you will have that information at your fingertips to look up and say, okay, yeah, this is what the elevation is, this is what it's going to be. Again, one of our checks, every 100 feet along that floodplain, we've got to make sure it matches that terrain data that we use. So therefore, we get rid of this, well, we know that we're 400 feet up in the air on top of a cliff that shows us in the floodplain. That goes away. That's part of our check. That's part of a quality check that we have to go forward with FEMA. So that's how the approximates will be done. So therefore, you won't have this, it doesn't make sense. So does that make sense?
It doesn't make.
No, I'm not with you yet. But what I think I heard you say is that
that you all are doing that.
Right.
And so my question still is, you've come to us to have us look at it. If you're doing that check, what is it that you're looking for us to do?
Three big things that we really need from you is if there's any studies, any detailed studies, a stormwater study, anything that wasn't incorporated in the maps before that we can move forward, anything that's sitting on the shelf, we want to use it to put in the maps. We found in a lot of communities that the Corps of Engineers came in and did something, an NRCS came in and did something, or a local engineering firm did something. And we found that this information's out there, but we don't have them on the maps. That's what we want. That's the big thing that we can move forward with. The other thing we want to make sure is our road names are right. We want to make sure our political boundaries are right. Those are the main things we go forward with. Once we put out the floodplains back, we do want you to look at them. But you're right, sometimes you don't figure out that it's an issue until later. But our check, that won't be an issue. I mean, we've done 50 counties in Missouri, and so far we haven't had any problems in terms of not meeting the check, where people go back out and shoot an elevation, and it was pretty close. Because, and the reason why that, I wish I could brag about as us, it's a good terrain data. The terrain data is what drives it. If we've got good terrain data, which we do here in Pinckney County, that solves a lot of our problems. That's why it works.
Yeah, but you're changing the limitations. You said every square mile.
Every one square mile will have an approximate zone. That's
okay, true. Every square mile. So what that does is put people in the flood zone that they weren't in before, which isn't puts them in a...
an approximate zone.
Right, which makes them pay flood insurance at a higher level. We had an issue here that came before the county commission a couple of months ago. And that makes them, those people, because you have minimized the level to 1 square mile, which you said there will be a lot more.
That's the FEMA criteria.
Okay.
We're driven by that criteria because that's what FEMA says we've got to do.
Okay. Well, I don't have to agree with them, but I mean, I have to live by it. But the thing of it is you got 1 square mile that may not have been in the floodplain, but now it is. And so those people have to either take a reduction on the amount of money that their property is worth, or if they have already built on that property, they have to pay flood insurance, which in this case was $980 a year. Now, do you base this upon a 1,000 or a 100-year flood, 20-year flood, or what do you base it on that they have to pay $980 a month, this one individual, because the map was wrong? Now, you understand my question?
A little bit. Let me answer it and see if I answer, and then you can tell me if I understand what you're saying. In terms of every drainage area in the county that has 1 square mile of drainage or greater will have a floodplain by criteria of FEMA. Does that mean that people will be put in the floodplain that aren't there before? There's a very good chance of that. There's also a chance that some people that are in the floodplain will not be when we go forward. It will work both ways. Now, in terms of its flood insurance rates, I don't know what the rates are. All I can tell you is that if you are, at the end of the day, if you are in a floodplain and you take out a federally backed mortgage, you will be required by flood insurance. So, now, unless you're elevated, and if your lowest floor is above the base flood elevation, then you can do a loan or low mark, and you won't have to pay flood insurance.
So,
is that...
You pretty well covered what I'm saying. I just don't think it's fair. I just don't think it's fair that a person has to pay flood insurance if they live in situations like we have brought before this commission. This has also made national news.
Sure.
And it also showed a man that was standing on a corner of a building, and he was standing on this corner of the building, and he had to have flood insurance, and a man standing on the corner of the building, they could reach around and shake hands with each other. He was out of the floodplain, and this man was in the floodplain. And this guy was having to pay almost $1,000 a month more, or a year, more insurance than this guy.
Sure.
So it made absolutely no sense.
The only thing I can say back on that is what drives a good map is your terrain data. On some of the earlier counties that we didn't have 2-foot contours. We had 10-foot contours. So on those earlier maps that they had 10-foot contours, your floodplain is plus or minus half the contour interval. So if you got a 10-foot contour, that means that base flood elevation is plus or minus 5 feet. So, that can happen, especially in a community, in an urban area where you've got that situation where the terrain doesn't reflect some of the urbanization that's occurred. So, I would agree with that. The one thing I'll say is, with the good terrain data, those issues are minimized. So, I'm not going to say they completely go away, but they're very minimized.
So, when those people come in to us, then we're going to send them to you. Is that the way this is going to work?
You can send it to us and see them, but the bottom line is that if they're in the floodplain, they've got to show that they're not in the floodplain.
That's their expense.
And that's where...
And that's where we have a problem.
That's where we're upset is if...
Understood. All I can tell you...
When you're not in the flood, and when we got new maps coming out, and as you can tell, we're very excited about it, because we can just see somebody that's not in the floodplain, that the map shows in the floodplain, and they're going to have to spend the story we've been talking about. They went to the surveyor, spent $800, and showed that they weren't.
Not in the floodplain.
And so they're okay, except for about $800. How many times is that going to happen in the county? Once is too often. And it's already happened, and so we're
sure.
We're excited. We don't want to see this
is
again.
What, 45th County? This is not the first time I've heard that. I hear you loud and clear. I understand what you're
Chris
saying.
Has got the answer.
No,
maybe.
Oh,
no.
I just had a thought sitting here.
Come on up to the mic, Chris, if you would, please.
The way I understand it currently, the only way you could get a deviation or whatever from the floodplain is you have to have a surveyor. Is that true, or is that just a way those people, a choice that they took?
If you're in the floodplain today, or you want to show you're not in the floodplain, you got to do a LOMAR. You know, I haven't gone over that yet a little bit. What that is, there's two methods of going about it. One's called a LOMAR letter map revision or a LOMA letter map amendment. A letter map amendment, the way I say it, is God-given terrain. You didn't alter the terrain. You go in, you're automatically higher than base elevation. You do a LOMA, and you fill it out, and you send it in to FEMA, and say, hey, I'm higher than this.
Okay.
Now, how you go about that is up to the homeowner individual.
Okay, I think that's what the deal is, because it doesn't matter how perfect these maps are going to be, there's going to be issues. I mean, that's my experience anyway.
Sure.
One thought that I had is there another way of doing this besides having to pay a surveyor? Particularly what I'm thinking, can we do it through our local GIS data that we may have?
Absolutely.
Could that show it to little or no expense to the people?
Absolutely.
And I don't know if that's it's just a
wonderful idea.
I mean, a couple of things I'll throw out there. A couple of things that really, really worked is the assessor office sends out a letter to everybody that's affected by the floodplains. Anybody in East Coast parcel is affected. And then come in and actually look at one community had, I don't know, 1,800 people, a small community in Kansas, 1,800 people. So we set stations around the gym, and they came in and actually looked where the property was in relationship to the floodplain. And we sat there and explained to them, this is what you're looking at. So, I mean, that absolutely. I mean, education is key. And that's what we're having the meeting here today. That's why you're not getting a set of maps a year and a half from now saying, hey, here you go, now adopt them. We want this. We want to be in front of all of this. We want as much information to be distributed as we possibly can.
So, do we have that kind of equipment in the county?
Well, I don't know. Patsy?
We have LIDAR and contours
developed for the county.
Yeah.
Do
you have parcel data?
Yes. I think you're talking two different things here. He's saying once the maps are in effect, if he finds out that his house is in the floodplain and he wants out, FEMA requires him to have a surveyor to do an elevation certificate. We're not going to be able to write a letter and say, my GIS says I'm high enough.
That's true. Now, one thing that you can do, though, is any piece of your property shows in the floodplain, you're going to get a letter saying you got to buy flood insurance.
Okay, but...
But what that will do is it'll show you that you're not in the house, the piece of property... is not in floodplain.
Okay, but my question is, and I think where the whole issue is, the people have to spend money to hire a surveyor to prove that. Is that right?
Pretty much. That would be the
okay.
answer. Yes.
So my question is, though, with GIS, with good GIS data that shows the elevation and shows that your house, maybe part of your property is in the floodplain, but your building or buildings are not, would that not suffice? Is there any way that could do so the people wouldn't have that expense?
I do have something I've got to say about that.
Bring it up.
I'm Trent with the City of Hollister. We as government officials do not want to take on that liability, because
right.
if we do,
we're basically saying, you're safe from flooding. And then what happens when they get flooded? They're going to sue directly us because we said they were safe from flooding. And by being safe from flooding, we're going to say, well, yeah, you're safe from flooding. Here, hand this to your insurance and your financial carrier. The financial carrier might say, okay, you don't need flood insurance. Then those poor people are out. The other thing that happens then when they do get flooded, if they don't have flood insurance, they would be capped for their federal aid. Their federal aid for their $300,000 home might be capped. And the cap is $28,500.
That's why
we don't do that kind of thing. We help them out, at least in Hollister. We help them out with the GIS and say, it looks good for you. But you need a floodplain determination letter.
Eddie sat down and warned us, talked me through that the other day and explained that.
Okay, well.
It seems like with the high tech we are, that there's not something that we can depend on.
We're close.
One thing you didn't point out is during this preliminary stage, before we get these maps ratified and finalized, we will know what parcels have been affected.
Absolutely.
And we'll be able at that point send a letter to all the parcel owners, have them come in, go over all the parcels that are going to be affected, and get it changed prior to it being ratified.
Absolutely. And we'll go through.
So, Danny, the thing is, if we see a problem, or if there's some parcels all of a sudden that pop up because of this new digitization, then we'll be able to confirm by parcel if those have been, if they really are in the floodplain. Right.
Not without a surveyor.
No, before the survey, yes. If we can prove prior to the ratification.
Here's my argument. Let me put this to you the way I see it. Is we had, and I brought this to the individual that came in. We have Mr. Hayes, who shoots elevations for county roads. Whenever the Corps of Engineers, which is a governmental department, takes his survey or his elevation shots, and uses them on county roads for us to get money from the federal government, which is, you're talking about FEMA and SEMA and all this, whether it be federal, state, or whatever, they use his figures. But it's not good enough that we can use his figures, but those citizens have to go spend $800 on a survey. It sounds to me like a lobbyist has been involved in this situation.
If we can fix the problem prior to the map being approved, there is no surveyor required.
Right.
Is that correct?
Real quick, what's going to happen is when they get ready and have preliminary, they'll be able to give us an overlay to go on our GIS system. At that time, Patsy will take the overlay, print off all the property owners that are involved in that overlay, right. And at that time, we probably should do a mass mailing and say, according to the new maps, you need to come in and see what's going on here.
And before it's fixed, ratified, we can then get it modified without the surveyor cost. Because once we say this is the map, then the only way to fix it is the surveyor.
You're back to FEMA's approved method of a Loma Lomar.
The extra layers that overlay it and notify the parcel owners if there's a discrepancy or for any changes.
And I don't know that when the maps were brought in that we have now that was done, because in our office I did not see that overlay until
the year we had. So I think there's a way for us to avoid the $800 charge per parcel if we do the due diligence before we finally vote on this map.
Eddie, humor me a little bit.
Jokes or?
No, there you go. Okay. So, and I bet Trent was there at the meeting that I was talking about earlier at Hollister. And again, my concern is that we get fouled up here again. And so you understand that where I'm coming from.
Yes, sir, indeed.
Is what you just said. Are we okay? And
what'll happen is if you go to my office now, I can pull you out a set of books. And 2 years ago, when we had the flood event here in Taney County, we received the overlays from FEMA that correspond to the maps that we currently have. Gave those to the IS department, who then generated a list of properties that are in the floodplain, plus a list of properties that have improvements on them that are in the floodplain. So what I believe will happen is when these maps come, if we do what we're supposed to do, we will generate a list of all the properties in Taney County that these new maps show to be in the floodplain. And at that particular time, we probably should put out a mailing to everybody. Now, and as he mentioned earlier, have a place set up where they can come in and view the flood maps and everything. And at that particular time, if they want to dispute that, that's when they should do that. Can we drive every property and know by looking at it? I don't think so. But the people that own the property should, know that in the event that this is not corrected at this particular time at no charge to them, then in the future it could cost them money on a monthly basis, yearly basis, or, to get themselves removed from this. I don't think they'll be totally flawless. I don't think that'll happen. I think they'll be a lot more accurate. I think we're a little more versed in what we need to do so that the county is not caught as unawares this time as it was last time.
So did I hear you say that there is a possibility, pretty good possibility, that we could have the same thing happen again? I mean, I can see.
I don't know their technology, but I've not seen anything that comes out 100% flawless.
Yeah, here's what we will provide you. We will provide you all the floodplain boundaries. We'll provide you our cross-sections and where we took the cross-sections. And on each cross-section, we'll provide you what their base flood elevation is. So that way you can see exactly what the cross-section is, how deep that water is. And we'll provide all that information to you guys. Well, to SEMA, back to you. Normally, we send it back out. And we'll send it out at the preliminary part time when we do that. So,
what are you using for your contours? Your contours? We the reason I'm asking is the county has had the county has a LIDAR. Is that what
right, and that's what we're using.
But you are going to use that?
Yes, absolutely.
And then all good known data as far as LOMAs and LOMARs, everything like that.
Let me talk a little bit first about the LIDAR. One of the reasons that Tena County is on the list, not if you go back, don't worry about it, but all the counties that were selected this year to do had LIDAR data. That moves you way to the top of the list. Because we came back to your instance earlier about 10 meter dims, plus or minus 5 feet, that's caused a lot of problems. So now, what the new criteria that we come up with is you've got to have LIDAR to go forward because it's so much more accurate. So, yeah, absolutely, we're using your LIDAR. One thing I haven't talked about yet is any already known LOMAs, any already known LOMARs will get reevaluated as part of the process. They don't go away. We go back in, say, okay, you got a LOMAR here, yep, still valid, we're moving on. So they don't have to go back and redo any already approved, and I saw someone bringing it through, find the LOMAs and LOMARs. Yeah. Any already approved LOMAs and LOMARs will get reevaluated. That's a part of the process. So if they're still valid, they move forward. So
you would use those also. I mean, they've established an elevation.
Yep.
So you can use that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly how I'll check it. Yep.
How many years do you use on your flood determination?
I apologize. Thank you. On your ordinance requires you to regulate to 100-year event. That's what the maps will have. On the approximate zone, they'll have the 100-year event. The detailed streams will have the 100-year event. Plus, some of them actually had the 500-year event. But you don't regulate the 500-year event. It just has to be under maps. So, but back to your original question, we do the 100-year event. That's the event that you regulate to per your ordinance.
Frank, I don't know that we didn't have a discussion when we were talking with the Corps about having a 100-year event 2 years in a row or something, or what was that? Last year, what did we have?
I believe there was a period in time in less than 1 year span that we had two 100-year events.
Absolutely. It's 1% chance every year. Does that mean it can be more than one? It absolutely. Could be less than one? Absolutely. But that's the event that FEMA has required per the CFR. It's a 100-year event.
Okay, I got another question that I don't understand, and I'm not going to bother your presentation anymore. I just don't understand these things. We had a cap of 28.5
on. You had what? I'm sorry.
We had a cap of 28.5 on homes that were flooded in the flood.
Okay, on disaster. You're talking about disaster.
Yes.
I'm with you. Okay.
Okay. If they are brought into the flood, put into the
flood zone.
Mm-hmm. And have to be one of the unfortunate ones that get flooded. What if the ones that don't get flooded and they've been paying this high flood insurance, which this guy that came in, you have to use him because he had direct contact with you, with SEMA, he had direct contact with FEMA, he went through the process. He comes to the commission, Wandell. It's costing him $980 a year flood insurance when his neighbor over there below him wasn't in the floodplain and wasn't having to pay anything. But when he went to refinance his house, that's when he got caught in the trap. So that's what we're trying to avoid, and that's the reason we're asking so many questions. And it probably, if you'd have showed up 6 months earlier than he got here, we probably wouldn't have all these questions. But we had concerns for these people that are going to be caught in the trap.
Absolutely. And first of all, you can't ask any questions. I weren't happy to answer anything. And you're right. I mean, on those older maps, I can show you, I can almost pull any county out and show you examples of that problem. Going forward with the new terrain that we've got, the new LIDAR, very few far between. Because now you're only plus or minus 1 foot. So it makes a world of a difference. That terrain is that's the key.
But you're going to increase it. You see, that's what bothers me. You're going to increase by a percentage. I'm just going to use 10%, 20%.
The detailed streams that you already have today will be no different tomorrow. But we're not going to update the hydrology, how much water is coming out the watershed. We're not going to update how deep that water is. All we're going to do is, on the detailed stream pieces, where that cross-section says it's 823, it's going to be 823 on both sides of that stream. That's what we're going to do on the detailed streams. So the only thing we're going to increase are those areas that where the drainage area is 1 square mile or greater, that there's not out there today, there will be out there a year and a half from now.
Okay, and in Taney County? Yeah, it makes total sense to me, but it also tells me that there's going to be a 10 to 20% increase in the amount of property that's placed in the flood zone in Taney County.
There's potential. I can't give a percentage, but there's potential that it'll definitely increase. Yeah. And you go back to your neighbors, I mean, that's the exact same issues everybody's had. I hear you loud and clear. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. I'm just here to represent them.
Absolutely. That's why I want to make sure when I walk away that everybody understands what I'm talking about in terms of this is where we're going.
Okay. I won't bother your presentation anymore. No. You just go right ahead. And...
Okay. Any other questions we need to talk about?
I got a quick question. It's back on the data processing. I understand that by using the 2 foot contour based on the LIDAR to map the line work for the flood hazard boundaries, mm-hmm. stream profiles, mm-hmm. that will help in the spatial accuracy.
Sure.
My question would be then, will there be a minimum standard in the future for the processing of the aerial imagery? So that it too will line up real ground features with the spatial data?
Right now, our default is we use the NAIPS, the National Insurance Agriculture Program aerials. If the community's got better aerials, we use them. So, and the other good thing about now, the new digital format, is let's say that we're going to use the NAIPS, the insurance program NAIPS. And Taney County flies next year and they've got new aerials. We can take the old ones out and slap the new ones in. So it really makes it a slick process is why we like it so well, because that way you don't have to wait 15 years to get your maps updated. You can do it now. So the answer would be is we'll use the best available aerials that we've got.
I see. Who determines that? Which is better?
Well, it uses based on year. The newer the flight, the better the aerials are.
Okay.
It's how we normally do that. But, yeah, and again, if there's aerials out here, oh, we want to know about it.
Well, I guess my question is the processing of the imagery sometimes can be not very good.
Understood.
And so you may have the same photo taken from two different companies.
Absolutely.
But one looks a lot worse than the other.
There's two instances in Missouri that we're not using the newer aerials because of that. Because we looked at them, I said, this doesn't look good. So I called them up and they said, well, there's nothing we can do. We can't get newer ones. I mean, we've already paid you the people to do it. I said, well, I'll tell you what, we can go to public meetings. I said, I'm going to have a tough time sitting up there in front of everybody and say, hey, these are good aerials. So we're not using them. We're going back and using NAIPS, even though they got newer ones in the community. So that's, and I have no problem doing that at all. Matter of fact, we send them out. Again, that's one thing to look at. Hey, wait a minute. Because one time we did get caught in that. They had newer aerials than what we used in the preliminary maps. This isn't right. Oh, let me know. We'll fix it. So absolutely. That's one thing we definitely want to know.
Yeah.
So. Anything else before? All right. Back up. I think I skipped over a slide real quick. Okay. What we've done is we've produced a map for every community in Taney County, including the county. And what we're looking for is, what you'll see is, there are different color coordinates on the maps. The red means you've got an existing detailed study. The green means you've got an existing approximate A zone. And the yellow means that you don't have floodplains today, but when we're done, we will. So that way you can see what you've got. So anyway, so just at the end of the presentation, I want everybody to take their own maps, take a look at them, especially, and we know this road always floods. We've got a problem here. Mark that up. Or there's a bust in our streams or floodplain here. It doesn't make sense. Mark it up. We want to know that. If nothing else, especially on a road that floods, if we go back to risk information and get some survey any data that can correlate with our models, we'll do that. So it's anything, bottom line is anything that we can do to make these maps better at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. So any information that we can get from you or provide you, that's what we want to do.
What's the timeline? Have you told us timeline, Jim? You said mark them up, give them back to you?
I like it within a month.
So 30 days.
30 days, and if you need more, we can do more. Go for it. I'm pretty sure you got time. I'm sorry, you need more.
So basically, May 1st is, I think, you're basically saying.
It is. Here's the process. Well, we've already talked about this a little bit because you've already got aerial photographs. Go forward. I have it. Go ahead and go forward. Okay, that's just the overall, what we're doing. To walk you through the timeline, right now we're in the process of updating your hydrology and approximate zones. So we will produce maps probably by September, you should have a set of preliminary maps.
Okay.
So, thank you, yes. These are the streams that we know you're going to do what's called redelineation. We know there are already detailed streams in the county, and I said county because it's in some of the communities, but these are the ones that are going to go back and redelineate. So there will be no new studies in terms of no new hydrology or hydraulics for detailed streams in Tioga County. We're just going to take the existing streams and, again, make it match the terrain. And I kind of highlight this in terms of what we need from you. Let me walk through a little bit about the time frame, though. After, what that means is, in September, we will send out what's called a preliminary set of maps. In other words, it's virtually what you've got now, hopefully a lot better. In other words, it'll be a deferm panel. It'll look just like a regular panel. It'll have a preliminary date stamp in the bottom right corner. Once that comes, about a year and a half from there is when you'll have an actual go through process to appeal it or look at it and then adopt it. And I say that there'll be probably a 60-day period where we actually review those maps after that time.
And that's when we would notify the parcel owners,
exactly.
Have maybe a discussion where you guys are back in here to have any disputes.
Absolutely. Discuss. Whatever we can do.
And that 60-day window after we get them in September.
Right.
Okay.
But at that preliminary meeting, we will provide you all the digital data. We'll provide you all the shapefiles for the floodplain.
In September when you give us back the maps.
Right. Okay. At the same time, we'll provide you all that data digitally.
Okay.
So that way you can take a look at it and wait a minute, what's going on here? Yeah, this looks right. Yeah, that type of thing. And then we'll give that to anybody who wants it, anybody in the community, in the county. And again, I say county, I'm including all the communities. Countywide.
What if you're not a participating community?
Doesn't matter. At this point in time, if you don't participate, do you have a floodplain? I mean, what are you talking about? Just
more side.
Okay. And so what will happen is we'll still give you all the information because now going forward, you will have a floodplain map. Now, if you decide not to participate, you'll get suspended. And so what that means is if anybody lives in Forsyth that wants to take out a federal back mortgage will not be able to because you don't participate in that flood program. So that's what will happen. But you'll still get your map. The flood insurance study that will come out will be no different. It will be countywide. So this will be one book for everything in the county. So that won't change. But, you know, if there's a floodplain, you'll get it. If there's not, you won't.
Okay, one more question. So the information, the preliminary map that you're going to send in September will be sent to the county for review?
Here's how that works. Every community in the county will get their panels. County will get everything. Forsyth will get all sides. Hollister will get Hollister's. You'll get your community's panels. And that way you can look at those. If you need more, we can give you more, but that's how we normally do it. We just send, whatever community you are, you get those panels.
For review.
Branson will get theirs, exactly. That's how that'll go.
Okay.
And then what we'll do is we'll come in and do another, usually, I'm going to guess, this is a pure guess, but probably October-ish, we'll have a meeting. And we'll actually do a presentation saying, okay, hey, we came back in March, we kind of went through scoping, asked for some studies, here are the studies we got or whatever we've got, here's the political boundaries we've got, here are the floodplain maps, here's the digital data, and then comments, and we'll kind of walk you through now what's your process to get these maps adopted. There'll be an appeals process, there'll be an adoption process, and then the maps will affect it, and we'll go through all that. So, yes?
Someone correct me if I'm wrong. Bull Shoals Lake has minimal flow, 5 foot elevation change. I don't know if it's already taken effect or if it's going to take effect. But that will change significantly the elevation.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'll definitely check into that. Because I don't know that answer.
Was that the Army Corps that had
yes.
planned that?
Yeah.
That hasn't taken effect yet.
Has not.
Not
yet.
And it does have negative impact on several roads.
Yes. And let's just say that we get to September, and that's not addressed, absolutely I want to know about that.
Okay.
If, whatever the case may be, that's time to bring that up.
A better source would not be the county, it would be the Army Corps.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. But you bet. And because what we'll do in the flood insurance study, we'll document that. Hey, this is what we did. This is why we did it. So that way, 5 years from now, whatever, somebody come back and say, why in the world did they do that? You go back and look, okay, this makes sense. So absolutely. You guys on Big
Shoals?
Yep.
Yeah. See, they asked us to do some work on that to recover funding for county roads. I think you'll find a 5 foot elevation and water will push water back up into areas that wouldn't ordinarily be in the floodplain,
mm-hmm.
but 5 feet will. And so the work that we've done basically, I don't know how much we accomplished with it, because we'll have roads and
did they do a study or report with that?
We had to. We put together
okay. So I can get a hold of that. That's something I want to see.
The Corps is increasing flow rates out of Table Rock with the flow through Tank Como.
Gotcha.
To bring Bull Shoals up to the state level.
I gotcha.
It will change the VFPs down here in the Bull Shoals area. It should.
Okay. And it'll increase it.
Yeah, 5 feet.
5 feet.
All right.
Right now, down.
Yeah, see, right now we would not add that in there. What was under maps right now, the basin elevation, what's under maps right now, that's what we would get in September.
And we know that's going to be different.
Yeah.
Well, that's they haven't put it in their place yet, but that is their intention.
Well, it's basically they've already put a timeline to it, didn't they?
Yeah, they've passed
a timeline.
It.
You know what that is?
I don't have it off the top of my head now, but I remember reading it at one time.
They've not initiated it, but they've passed it federally.
Yeah,
okay. That was 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, Jeff.
But I mean, yesterday's core meeting, they talked about it again.
Yeah.
Is that Kansas City or
Little Rock?
Little Rock. Okay. Yeah, because that would not be, the new maps would not reflect that. It would not.
Is the Corps just raising the base elevation, what they call power pool elevation, and they're just going to hold more water year-round?
In Bull Shoals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're just going to raise.
Oh, so it'll be static elevation.
The new static elevation is going to go up. I don't know if they're going to raise the
okay.
max.
You know what?
Elevation.
All right. Let me.
But they are going to hold more water on a constant level.
All right. Let me take a look at that. And what I can do is I can provide you back some maps to see here's what's going to happen type of scenario.
But what they're saying is that even by bringing that up 5 feet, it is going to put roads under water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a study and.
I'm with you.
Gotcha.
We don't know how what it'll affect after. Everybody was contacted, docks, buildings, roads. The county was contacted. I went with Randy. Randy and I did a map survey of what roads would be affected. They come back, lost the maps, they said, for 2 years. So anyway, it's been a big complicated issue.
Gotcha. Can you go back up before the screen? So right now, is Bull Shoals detailed? Is that detailed street?
The White River is what?
Oh, I see. It's backwater of that, maybe. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because Shoal will not be touched based on what I mean, when I went back and looked at that. So let me go back and do some digging on that and see.
You got Swan Creek on there.
Swan Creek, yeah. 2.7
miles of it.
Yep. Yeah, that will be affected.
Big, it's Big Hollow? Yeah.
They don't have Beaver Creek on there, wouldn't that affect?
Yeah.
Beaver Creek?
Yeah. Just so you know, what these streams here are your existing detailed streams in the county. These streams right here have their AE, they have a baseline elevation, they have a floodway. That's what these streams here are. And that's what the reason I put it up there is because that's one thing we're gonna affect. Unless unless Bull Shoals, we come with some static elevation, and then what we do is we just run that up to tributaries to that elevation, and then it would just stop.
But Big Creek's where Dalton lived, right?
He lives on Caney Creek.
Caney Creek runs in Big
runs
Creek.
Into Beaver Creek.
Beaver Creek. So
it could go a couple trips, man.
Yeah, with the person that, I mean, it's already been issued a. Insurance statement and a warning, he lives on the Bull Shoals level, so.
Okay.
Bull Shoals is AE.
Okay. Sounds good. And I said I was going to pull out anyway, I'm going to get back tomorrow for the night. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, because I didn't know that. So next slide. So anyway, I kind of already hit on everything I need from you in terms of what we can do, anything we can do to make the nets better. That's really what we want. But, and again, I've got community-wise, community-specific maps. Actually, I've got two per community. One's got what I call the vector, the white background. The other one's got the aerial background. Sometimes it's tough to see through my color-coded lines on top of the aerials, but sometimes it's nice to see the aerial and then you know where you are. So that's why I need both of them. But anyway, what I like at this time is if everybody just kind of did their, and then you can leave or whatever you want to do, but I do would like to, any comments you got, any information you got, anything you want to do to mark up. If you've got high water marks or road bridging, any information you can get, absolutely can use it. Nothing else, we can check our models. So, at that, I do appreciate everybody's time. And any other questions I can answer, that'd be generic. If you have any specific community questions, please, we'll be around as long as we need to be to answer anything that you got. And again, I do appreciate everybody's time.
I think you're really going to affect Eastern Taney County because you don't have Bull Shoals listed on your map. And I think that there's probably going to be as much as 50% of it, Eastern Taney County, that will be affected when you start adding Beaver Creek and Bee Creek and all the tributaries.
Absolutely.
I think you're really going to have an impact on Taney County.
I do want to ask, where's it? I got contact with Little Rock.
You have contact.
Yeah, I think you did. And you may have to go, I'll get my email and card. I do want that. I think that'd be awesome. Thank you.
I think I've got a card from was in the minimum flow deal.
They're predicting to raise the base.
They got John Heiser out of there.
We can get you there.
Yeah.
John's very familiar with us.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but
there was a gentleman, Mike, somebody that came a couple of different times and talked to us, Maynard Wallace.
Right.
Well, there's a mark.
And that's
He can guide you the right way.
Awesome. Okay. We might know.
Dennis, thanks for taking our questions. It's a good presentation. We appreciate you being here.
Why are they taking so long?
Get the maps, get this going. You mentioned about overlays and looking for discrepancies or making the map better by political boundaries and all that. Is you have a checklist of things that we need to look at? Or is that?
I mean, you mentioned eventually that could.
Biggest things that
eventually
all
affect.
Between now and September, someone's
really
gonna,
it should.
If we're going to raise up road names, local communities always have something different.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, nothing's a bigger deal killer than when an assistant walks in your office, they look at the map, and the road name's wrong. This map's terrible. You've already lost the argument before you go any farther.
Gotcha.
Those are the easy things we can fix.
So road names are really important, so we need 911 to get involved too.
Then. Absolutely. And if we can just get the 911 data set, that'd be easy probably thing to do.
Okay.
So, absolutely.
Real quick.
Yep.
Fire Chief,
Bauer just had a, he's got an email here that there's going to be a change of time, I guess, for the 5 foot increase for the core.
Okay.
April 7th, I believe, is the date. Is that right, Nate?
Yeah, April 7th is the White River Stakeholders meeting.
Oh, in Harrison?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably go over some of that stuff.
Where's it going to be at?
Harrison.
Harrison?
Yeah, just down south of Harrison.
Got the place and everything. You get the address and everything from him. It's on it's on our emails also.
It's on our calendar already, so yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Awesome. Okay, with that, yeah, please, Matt, please, you can mark up. Yeah.